Turn with me to Exodus 26. The beauty, worth, and walk of Christ. You know, it's sad that so oftentimes when we visit other churches, if the preacher happens to be in the Old Testament, you won't hear much gospel in that sermon. And that is a detriment. That is a grievous error when any preacher would preach from the Old Testament and preach a moralistic sermon. Morals are important. They are good and right. But they are not the end of the gospel. The Old Testament was not given to you and me so that we could live morally, so that you and me could live rightly. The Old Testament was given to you and me so that we could know the gospel. I remember when I was in high school, we had an assignment to actually build a replica of the tabernacle and to take into account the details of every facet, every minute piece. Why? Because that tabernacle points forward, that tabernacle foreshadows and portrays the coming Jesus. Even down to the curtains that are used. In our day, we see curtains, and all we think of is window dressing. But the curtains, the veils of the temple were much more than just to cover windows. The curtains, the boards, the sockets, the veils were all given with purpose. And the folks were not to take anything lightly, because worship matters. Worship matters. You and me were created to worship. What is the first question of the Westminster Catechism? First question is, what is the chief end of man? To glorify God and enjoy Him forever. How do we glorify God? We glorify Him in worship. Yet it is corporate worship, but your worship should be more than what we do together on Sunday morning. Your worship should be even more than just your private prayer life. You have a life characterized by worship. Or you like Cain, just bringing some of your life. And then disgruntled at God because God accepts this guy's offering and not your own. Let's begin by reading the first 14 verses of chapter 26. Moreover, thou shalt make the tabernacle with 10 curtains of fine twined linen, and blue, and purple, and scarlet. With cherubim of cunning work shalt thou make them. The length of one curtain shall be 8 and 20 cubits, and the breadth of one curtain 4 cubits. And every one of the curtains shall have one measure. The 5 curtains shall be coupled together one to another, and other 5 curtains shall be coupled one to another. And thou shalt make loops of blue on the edge of the one curtain from the selvage in the coupling. And likewise shalt thou make in the uttermost edge of another curtain in the coupling of the second. 50 loops shalt thou make in the one curtain, and 50 loops shalt thou make in the edge of the curtain that is in the coupling of the second, that the loops may take hold of one another. And thou shalt make 50 patches of gold, and couple the curtains together with the patches. And it shall be one tabernacle. And thou shalt make the curtains. Of goat's hair be a covering upon the tabernacle. 11 curtains shalt thou make. The length of one curtain shall be 30 cubits, and the breadth of one curtain 4 cubits. And the 11 curtains shall be of one measure. And thou shalt couple 5 curtains by themselves, and 6 curtains by themselves, and shalt double the 6th curtain in the forefront of the tabernacle. And thou shalt make 50 loops on the edge of the one curtain. That is outmost in the coupling, and 50 loops at the edge of the curtain which coupleth the second. Thou shalt make 50 patches of brass, and put the patches into the loops, and couple the tent together, that it be one. And the remnant that remaineth in the curtains of the tent, the curtain that remaineth shall hang over the back side of the tabernacle. And a cubit on the one side, and a cubit on the other side of that which remaineth in the length of the curtains of the tent. It shall hang over the sides of the tabernacle, on this side and on that side, to cover it. And thou shalt make the covering of the tent of ram skins dyed red, and a covering of badger skins. Take a look there again at verse 6. And it shall be one tabernacle. And then look at verse 11. That it may be one. Verse 6, and it shall be one tabernacle. Verse 11, that it may be one. Lord Jesus, we bow before you and thank you for your goodness. We thank you that you reveal yourself in your word. We thank you that all scripture is given, God-breathed, good for edifying, for instruction, for reproof, for training in righteousness, that the man of God might be thoroughly equipped for every good work. It's in your name we pray. So God gives command for multiple curtains, but these multiple curtains are for one tabernacle. That this tent would be held together, that it would be one. Why is it significant that Moses would write one tabernacle that it might be one? Because the details bring the tabernacle together. We have one Lord, one Savior, one Messiah. There are many details, many descriptions of Him throughout the pages of Scripture. The Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Lily of the Valley, the Shepherd, Jehovah Jireh, Provider, Jehovah Rapha, Healer, the Lord, our Banner, the Faithful Husband, the Kinsman Redeemer, the Righteous Lawgiver, the Mighty Conqueror, Creator, Sustainer. In the New Testament, we hear words like the bread of life, living water, the manna that came down from heaven. The born King of the Jews, Emmanuel, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the earth, These are many descriptions, but they point to one, and that is Jesus. There is one Messiah, one Lord, one Savior, and His name is Jesus. And He is all of these things wrapped up in one. Just as all of these curtains that are described and all the details in regard to the curtains and the loops and the lengths and the breadth and the width all point to one tabernacle. That this tent would be together and that it would be one. He is both the Lion of the tribe of Judah and the Lamb slain from the foundation of the earth. He is both kinsman, redeemer, and faithful husband. He is both bread and water. He is Alpha and Omega. And by the way, when we think of Alpha and Omega, He is not just simply beginning and the end, but He is beginning to the end. Philippians 1, verse 6. Be confident of this very thing, that He that began the good work in you will complete it, will perform it until the day of Christ Jesus. There are four coverings, four curtains that are described here in the first 14 verses. The first was of fine twined linen, blue, purple, and scarlet. This linen did not touch the ground. It is significant, it is not incidental that this linen of blue, purple, and scarlet did not touch the ground. Its beauty was only seen from the inside of the tabernacle. You could not see the beauty of this fine twined linen. You could not see the beauty of the blue, the purple, and the scarlet from the outside. Why is that? Because the beauty of the Lord Jesus cannot be seen by the world. Think about when you and me watch TV or hear the radio or see different things that are broadcast over the internet. You can mention God and it won't trigger any sort of emotional response. But the moment you mention the name Jesus, it changes the conversation. It changes the heat and the magnitude of the conversation. Why is that? Because when the secular world hears God, they can read into that simple word G-O-D, God, anything that they want to make God to be. But when they hear Jesus, they know that they cannot read into that what they want, because Jesus is an exclusive Savior. We believe in the exclusivity of the gospel. You and me don't come to Jesus on our terms. We don't come to Jesus any way we want. We don't come to Jesus and keep hold of our old life. We cannot continue to worship the gods of this world and worship the Lord Jesus. The beauty of this fine twined linen, the beauty of that blue and gold, blue and purple and scarlet that did not touch the ground, was seen only from inside the tabernacle. Turn with me to Psalm 17. Psalm 17 and verse 8. Keep me as the apple of the eye. Hide me as the shadow of your wings. If you and me are believers, if we've been bought with a price, not only are we the apple of the Lord's eye, but He keeps us under the shadow of His wings. Guess what? The tabernacle, those who are inside the tabernacle are under the shadow of his wings. Those who are inside of the tabernacle are under his beauty, are under his excellence. Jesus can only satisfy his own people. Jesus can only satisfy his own people. We must behold him in his beauty. How is the world satisfied by Jesus? We're not. Because Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. That cannot satisfy the world. That cannot satisfy the culture. That cannot satisfy the seculars. You and me are his own people, held under the shadow of his wing, and we behold his beauty from within. The second curtain was goat's hair. It did touch the ground, and it speaks of Christ's worth for sinners. This is symbolic of the message of the death of Christ. Think about that. The goat's hair, the fine twine linen, blue purple scarlet, did not touch the ground, but the goat's hair does. In the incarnation, Jesus touched the ground. In the incarnation, Jesus went to death on your behalf. In Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews 9 and verse 26. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. In his substitutionary sacrifice on that cross, as we celebrate Good Friday in the next month and a half, we celebrate it touching the earth as the goat's hair touched the earth. We're celebrating not only his beauty seen in that blue, purple, and white, the blue, purple, and scarlet, but we celebrate his worth in the incarnation. We should worship him who is worthy of worship. You know, a good way to think about that word worship is to spell it not W-O-R-S-H-I-P, but spell it W-O-R-T-H-S-H-I-P. Because when we come together, it is for worship. He is worthy to be praised. What did they cry out and sing in Revelation? Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was, who is to come. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. So we come together for worship. The third covering was ram skins dyed red. So whereas the blue, purple, and scarlet showed his beauty, whereas the goat's hair showed his worth, the ram skins dyed red shows his strength, shows his vigor, shows his vitality. Shows the strength and the vigor of the offering that he made for you and me. This shows the outer aspect of his offering as our substitute. This wasn't a weak sacrifice that Jesus made. This wasn't a tepid sacrifice. But he went to the death, experiencing everything just as prophecy had foretold. fulfilling every prophecy. And guess what? We have in Peter clarification that it wasn't just the sacrifice in time, but the sacrifice in time came what? From the sacrifice in eternity. Because Jesus is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the earth. That which God decreed, that which God accomplished in eternity, in the fullness of time, He came. See, the lambs and the various sacrifices that were brought in the Old Testament, those had to be repeated year after year. Because they were pictures, they were types, they were shadows. Those sacrifices of the Old Testament, they were weak and they were tepid because they could not accomplish that which Jesus accomplished. Because that lamb in the Old Testament was born, it was raised to a point, and then it was sacrificed. But Jesus sacrificed for you and me was accomplished in eternity, pointed to in prophecy, and then in the fullness of time occurs among us. The fourth curtain was of badger skins and seal skins. Those seal skins, they would be marred by time, and they would be marred by weather. But it always protected the inside of the tabernacle. Think about that. That outward covering. Seal skins or badger skins. Over the course of the 40 years that the children of Israel were picking up and going and setting back down, picking up and going and setting back down, it would be weathered. It would look rough on the outside. But even though it would look rough on the outside, it would provide protection on the inside. And that's what mattered. Just as the linen covering showed his beauty to the believer, the sealskin had no beauty to reveal it. The sealskin had no beauty to reveal. It pointed to Christ's walk. There was no beauty in the sealskin. There was no beauty in that badger skin. But it provided protection for that which was inside. The blue, purple, and scarlet, they were beautiful to see. You could look up and see the beauty thereof. Eric read from Isaiah 53. There was nothing about Jesus. Prophet Isaiah foretold it. That would draw us to Him. You and me see movies and pictures and representations of Jesus. And all we see is an artist's depiction. But artists are depicting something that is contrary to Scripture. Because the man Jesus had no form or comeliness that would draw us to Him. It wasn't His appearance. It was that which He showed, that which He fulfilled. There is no beauty on the outside that we should desire Him. The world does not see in Him what we see in Him. Verse 15. And thou shalt make boards for the tabernacle of Shechem wood standing up. 10 cubits shall be the length of a board, and a cubit and a half shall be the breadth of one board. 2 tenons shall there be in one board, set in order one against another. Thus shalt thou make for all the boards of the tabernacle. And thou shalt make the boards for the tabernacle, 20 boards on the south side, southward. And thou shalt make 40 sockets of silver under the 20 boards. Two sockets under one board for his two tenons, and two sockets under another board for his two tenons. And for the second side of the tabernacle on the north side, there shall be 20 boards. And there are 40 sockets of silver, two sockets under one board, and two sockets under another board. And for the side of the tabernacle westward, thou shalt make 6 boards, and 2 boards shalt thou make for the corners of the tabernacle on the two sides, and they shall be coupled together beneath, and they shall be coupled together above the head of it into one ring. Thus shall it be for them both. They shall be for the two corners, and they shall be 8 boards, and their sockets of silver, 16 sockets, 2 sockets under one board, 2 sockets under another board. And thou shalt make bars of sheet of wood, 5 for the boards of the one side of the tabernacle, and 5 for the boards of the other side of the tabernacle, and 5 for the boards of the side of the tabernacle, for the two sides westward. And the middle bar in the midst of the boards shall reach from end to end. And thou shalt overlay the boards with gold, and make the rings for gold places. For the bars, thou shalt overlay the bars with gold. Everything that we read about here speaks of the person and the work of Christ. It's important that we understand that it speaks to both the person and the work, because we cannot separate his personhood from his work. Every covering, every thread, every article of furniture shows something about the Savior. Think about these boards. They were sheet of wood. They were durable like California redwoods. Think about the redwoods of California that grow up hundreds of feet into the air. They grow up bigger than we can wrap our arms around. Think about the value of redwood. Most of us can't afford redwood. That's what this sheet of wood was. It was a very expensive, very costly wood. And then, as if it wasn't costly enough already, as if it was already not durable, they covered it with gold. Why would they do that? We see in that sheet of wood covered with gold, Jesus. To use a big theological word, hypostatic union. Jesus is both fully God and fully man. The sheet of wood represents his humanity. The gold overlaying the sheet of wood represents his deity. The two never mixed. The two never mixed. He was never acting as God in his humanity, never acting as man in his deity. He was both fully God and fully man. The Greek mythology portrays different of their gods as being 50-50, or some mix thereof. But in the incarnation, you and me have one man, Jesus, who is both fully God and fully man in his hypostatic union. And these constituted the tabernacle proper. The bars held the tabernacle together, just as the Holy Spirit holds believers together. Remember Jesus' promise about the Holy Spirit. If I go, I will send another comforter to you. What's the job of the Holy Spirit? Well, the job of the Holy Spirit is to hold you and me together. How does he hold you and me together? By teaching us to observe all things whatsoever Jesus has commanded us, reminding us all things whatsoever Jesus taught us. When you watch a commercial on TV, or you hear a commercial on the radio, or you see an ad on the internet, who gets the attention in that commercial? The entity being advertised, or the agency that produced the advertisement? Have you ever seen a commercial for any product that the advertising agency got the attention? That would be a really weird commercial, because advertising agencies are paid to get attention to somebody else. That's the Holy Spirit's job. The Holy Spirit's job is to point you and me to Jesus, to advertise for Jesus. The curtains. Let's come back to that blue. Let's come back to that scarlet. Let's come back to that purple. Blue points to heaven. Scarlet speaks of Christ's blood. And the blending of the blue and the scarlet into purple show royalty. The heavens, we know, are divided. We have the first heaven, and then we see in Paul's writings, the third heaven. Jesus ascended into the heavens. He ascended into the sky. We can see blue, and we see the heavens in the blue. The scarlet is representative of His blood, and when the blue and the scarlet come together, we see His royalty. Heaven touched earth in the humanity of Christ. And when Jesus stepped into time and space, He was the King of the Jews. Just as the sign of the cross said, "This is the King of the Jews." Whereas the wise men said, "Where is He who is born King?" The boards, the bars, the rings were overlaid with gold, showing His deity. Verse 30, we see a command. So after all these details, we come back to a command in verse 30. "And thou shalt rear up the tabernacle according to the fashion thereof which was shewed thee in the mount." So God gives these instructions, and then He reiterates the command. Take these instructions seriously. These are not something to be taken lightly. I showed you the pattern. I've given you the instructions, and you're going to follow these instructions as the pattern that I showed you in the mount. Don't go off and do your own thing. In 31 through 37, we see the veils. "Thou shalt make a veil of blue and purple and scarlet, and fine twined linen of cunning work with cherubim shall it be made. And thou shalt hang it upon four pillars of sheeted wood, overlaid with gold. Their hooks shall be of gold upon the four sockets of silver. Thou shalt hang up the veil under the branches, that thou mayest bring in thither within the veil the ark of the testimony. And the veil shall divide unto you between the holy place and the most holy. And thou shalt put the mercy seat upon the ark of the testimony in the most holy place. And thou shalt set the table without the veil, and the candlesticks against the table on the side of the tabernacle toward the south. And thou shalt put the table on the north. And thou shalt make it hanging for the door of the tent of blue and purple and scarlet and fine twined linen wrought with needlework. And thou shalt make for the hanging five pillars of sheeted wood. and are laden with gold, and their hooks shall be of gold, and thou shalt cast 5 sockets of brass for them. The veil was hung upon 4 pillars. Deity taking hold of the earth through redemption. Think about that. This veil that separated the people from the presence of God was hung upon these 4 pillars. Deity taking hold of the earth in redemption. The veil, we read about in Matthew 27. Matthew 27, verse 50 and 51. Jesus, when he had cried out again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. That veil was torn, representing the fracture of Jesus' spirit and body. What did Jesus say as he was on the cross? Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. For 30-some years, Jesus' spirit and body resided on this earth. And when Jesus cried out, into your hands I commit my spirit, his spirit was fractured from his body. Just as the veil in the temple was torn from top to bottom. The way to God's presence was opened through Jesus Christ. His spirit, his body was fractured. The way was open. Prior to this, only the high priest could go into the Holy of Holies. And then only once a year. With fear and trembling. But thanks be to God. As Jesus cries out with that loud voice, as the veil is torn, the way to God's presence is open through Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. And now you and me can come boldly into his presence. And not with fear and trembling. Do you know what it is today to enter into his presence boldly? Do you know what it is today to enter into his presence through the finished work of Jesus? I urge you today, if you never settle this matter, to seek out someone that you love, that you trust, and settle this today. Lord Jesus, we pray that you would bless your word, that it would not be turned void. Lord, we pray that even persons that we may never meet in this earth will hear your gospel and be beckoned to come to you. In your name we pray. Amen.